Boom, we did it. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm great. Back again.
It's almost afternoon. 10 a.m. starts getting that afternoon area.
Right.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 119 of Lunar Crush Live. Today, we're going to be joined by the Flick Play team. We got Perina and Santiago waiting in the background here. We're excited to talk to them, learn a little bit more. I'm hearing AR. I'm hearing NFTs. I'm hearing Pokemon Go kind of TikTok things. I'm excited to figure out, how that's all going to get bridged and come together. I'm so excited to bring them on. Our disclaimer, as always, we do not take payment for our live stream. We bring on fun, exciting people who are advancing and dedicating their lives to the crypto space. Sounds like these two are part of that. next week. Ooh, actually, we don't have anything scheduled next week. Wow. Week off. That'll be nice. Maybe we should schedule a couple more in and you can take them. What do you think?
Yeah, that's cool. I think we got some stuff pending, just nothing locked down. So, okay. Yeah.
Sweet. All right, busy. Let's play this intro. Let's bring these folks up and let's learn a little bit more about Flick Play. Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Good, and you? That was a nice intro.
Thank you very much.
I actually felt I was getting immersed on it.
Thank you. We'll send the regards to the animation team on that one. Cool. So what we'd like to do is we always like to start, and Perino, you can start us. Where are you in the world and what's it like there today?
It's pretty sunny. I'm in sunshine, Los Angeles, Santa Monica. It's actually a pretty beautiful day. I'm looking out, sunny and shining.
Where you're looking out there, kind of like you want to go out there maybe and just hang out outside.
You know what's funny? LA Tech Week, I'm normally seeing the sun, but not being a part of the experience. And during LA Tech Week, I went to one of these dinners sunset events. And it was right in front of the beach. The view was beautiful. And it was like, wow, I cannot believe I live here. Right? Even though I've been here for 12 years, just because I don't get to have that experience that often where I'm not inside the office, I was like, wow, this is beautiful.
I love that. Yeah, it seems like sometimes the folks that live here in Southern California, you're not going to the beach nearly as much as you probably should be, where people that come in from out of town are just at the beach all the time. So,
yeah. And our office is 3 blocks from the beach.
Something I think you guys got to work on that.
I think that that's a problem.
In Santiago?
I'm actually across the room from Perina. So we're in the same office at the moment. Just moved to LA from Madrid. So I was actually in Madrid for 3 years. And as we joined the Disney Accelerator, decided to also move here to the Flick Play offices and work in-house as well.
Nice. Yeah, no, and we can definitely dig into that and the Accelerator and everything. Maybe you guys could just walk us through what is Flick Play? What's the elevator pitch? What are you guys working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So Flick Play is a Web3 social app where people can unlock and flex their NFTs in the real world. I always say that the easiest way to think about what we do is Pokemon Go meets TikTok. The gamification, like map application, you go to locations of Pokemon Go meets a platform like TikTok, where you're actually able to storytell with the things that you own digitally. And I think that a big aspect that our contribution that we want to make to the ecosystem is how can we start to not detach, but isolate a little bit the financial value of assets and empower holders of NFTs to build a cultural aspect of the things they own by storytelling with them, but making it part of their everyday life. The same way the things that they own physically, the clothing you wear, the glasses that you wear, the car you drive become part of your identity, right? So that idea of bridging, pretty much creating a bridge between the things that you own digitally and blend them with the things that you own physically and make them part of your everyday life.
So I, you know, I know you didn't describe it this way, but are we talking metaverse, like some metaverse kind of feel here? I know that's like a, that word, I'm sure, especially with fundraising and accelerators, you kind of like want to maybe go this way right now with the metaverse word, but it does kind of feel like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like I always say that some people think that we're building a metaverse in the real world, and some people think that we are creating a space in the real world to bring digital metaverses, right? So I think like there is this misconception right now in this space that only role-playing games are a metaverse and that you need to be fully immersed for it to be a metaverse. I tend to disagree with that. I think that any human bridge that we create with digital items, it is a metaverse, right? So I think like one of the features that I really like about our app is that as people storytell with their NFTs and they pin their videos to the map, you can go to our map and you can go to the videos tab and you can see pretty much this new way of experiencing the real world or to consuming information in the real world by how people bring their digital assets, the things they own, to how they storytell about what they're eating, what are they doing in the beach, right? And how the things they own are actually playing a part of the story on that.
Go ahead, Ian.
I mean, it feels like Twitter is the metaverse at times too, right? It's like you can be an undoxed individual. So I think that the bleed there is starting to take hold a little bit more and kind of be a little bit more loosely defined. I like that you guys are kind of decoupling the like trader financial aspect of things and leaning a little bit more into like the social, you know, wealth, I suppose, with your characters. So can you talk a little bit about how you start to build that social aspect to this?
Yeah, totally. We started the company about 3 years ago, so feels ages for how fast the space is moving and it having pretty much started, I would say, like the NFT craze started like October, November last year, right? So when I started FlickPlay, a lot of the original vision came from seeing different online and offline trends that were shifting the way we build our digital identity. And I've been always very fascinated about how social media has amplified human behavior and has shifted our interests and the way we prioritize where we go and why we go to location based on how these places are helping us shape our identity online and reach masses. And we saw Pokemon Go pretty much moving people through the world, right? So for the first time in history, like you would go to all these different locations and you would see people running for something digitally that wasn't like quote unquote real in 2017, 2018, right? And at the same time, we had Museum of Ice Cream creating these artificial environments in the real world that was empowering people to storytell and have like a creative take about how they share themselves and how they build their identity online, right? So this hybrid between what do I do in the real world that is not only gonna help me connect with my friends, but it's gonna help me reach the masses online and start becoming a subconscious driver of actions in the real world. And one of the pivot points was when I start to see kids from Fortnite embrace their victory dances, embrace like the identity that they have built within the game across TikTok and Instagram, right? And it start becoming a phenomenon itself. And I say, well, what if we can build a platform at the intersection of gaming and social that powers the next generation of digital identities? And at this point, a blockchain of NFTs were nowhere to be heard of within the consumer social ecosystem, right? As a matter of fact, if you talk with anyone about building a social ecosystem that was in incentive by a marketplace, which is how everything around the NFT space works, people would tell you it won't work because the traditional model for social medias has been advertising. So you get masses into an app and then you monetize through advertising, right? So we were definitely a little bit ahead of ourselves when we thought about how we could like really pave the path for what we thought that was the future. And thankfully it consolidated last year as we start to see the market adopt the idea of digital ownership and embrace the identity aspect of owning digital things. And it created a really a smooth transition for us to really find ourselves in a very unique way in the market.
I have a question. When you guys talk to investors, do you consider yourself a social media app? Do you consider yourself like an NFT metaverse kind of thing? Like, how are you explaining it to, cause like from my perspective, like crypto and Web3 is just like a better power to all apps that are out there. Right. And so as that falls to the background a little bit more, and all apps will have some sort of incentive model, some sort of ownership model. It feels to me like just a much better social media app that I can have some ownership over. I can kind of buy and sell the things that I have and bring those things in. Is that like, how are you explaining it to them? And what is the feedback that you're getting?
Yeah, I think that when you think, let me push back. I think that every app, as you say, will add a layer of experience that enables, we see Instagram is enabling people to see their NFTs. We're seeing Twitter is enabling you to add your profile picture to it, right? Like, so we're going to see some sort of like layer of experience. But what I always like to emphasize is that depending on the business model that you have, whether that is advertising, whether that is marketplace, whatever that is in the background or in the bottom, in the foundation, it will force you to amplify different behaviors. And a platform like TikTok or a platform like Instagram, whose model is advertising, will have a harder time trying to go back to the foundation of a platform like FlickPlay. How can a platform of FlickPlay really monetize or empower people to embrace ownership when our business model is as a marketplace? So we don't really need to focus on the same principles that traditional social media focus on, because our incentive structure is different than theirs, right? So I think that when we think about Facebook as a platform that embrace the idea of community building and you making friends faster online, and you transition to stacking Instagram on top of it, where it's not only community, but popularity. These are incentive structures that drove completely different user experiences and platforms, right? When I think about ownership as the third a source of identity and status that humanity has embraced across ages, it's a completely different incentive structure and consumer behavior that can be amplified in ways that companies whose business models and incentive structures are different will never be able to tackle to its full potential, right? So when we talk I hate when people put any company in a box, because if you think about Slack, it started as a game and now is a platform that we will all use from an enterprise standpoint for companies, right? I don't like being put in a box, but I do know that through our map, we're building a real world marketplace. But there is a strong social engine that is powering why people would trade an asset and to whom, based on the storyline that people have created by pushing videos with their NFTs. So if a Snoop Dogg owns an NFT and he creates 10 videos with it within our app, the moment that we build the marketplace tools, he's gonna be able to sell that NFT with licensing rights to the videos he has created that will stay within the profile of that NFT. So you're adding a very heavy social layer and culture layer on top of objects that are considered purely financial assets right now.
Yeah, no, there's so much there. It's, you know, because what you're unlocking is, you know, when you're integrating the NFT so deeply and the utility of that so deeply into basically a social media network, like you're saying, anything is for sale, right? And how do you kind of like append, whether it's storylines or NFTs or music or art or anything to that? You now have this kind of deeper layer of understanding of what's happening with that versus, oh, I just saw this one NFT that's listed on this marketplace. Well, what's the story behind that? Right. It seems like what you guys are doing is people can now follow that story. And here's this piece Absolutely. To that. Yeah. And so when you think about, and maybe Santiago, it's like, sounds like you're working on growth. You have two-sided marketplace. You know, you've got people that have to come in. You got buyers, you got sellers, you got people listing. You're going to have a marketplace. You're going to have people creating content. It's a lot of different like sides of this. How do you think about growing that out and where have you started? Where are you at with that growth process?
Initially, something that we realized is that people is getting tired of speaking and chatting through Discord. Like that's the initial thing that we realized, and that people is looking for a more social interactions. When you go into Discord, you see all these different communities of NFTs. Being a super strong fan of first the collections they're part of and the communities they're part of, and second, making like friends, the best friends of their life. You can see they're under Discord and on these communities. So the first step for us is we're actually going to go through a certification process where we're going to be certifying different collections in the market to come into our platform. So right now we're opening applications for different collections that want to come into our app. You can always apply as a collection through our website. We'll be certifying these collections and migrating a lot of that community that is looking for a more deeper social interaction between them. We actually just launched a collection around 4 months ago, and the response has been incredible. We've actually gotten more people in the app creating content that are iOS holders rather than on Discord. So we got more people in our app interacting with each other than what we have on Discord interacting and chatting. So that just gives you a hint of, hey, people is getting tired of chatting. They're looking for something more. They're looking to know about each other's life. They need to know. They're looking to know more about what's the lifestyle of their friends and what's kind of like what they're aiming to do. So a lot of it will come from the certification process. And we're strategizing as well a lot of map launches from different collections or dropping a second collection, a third collection, and they want to do it in a more gamified way through our application, which is there's also an application process in order to do so, which is currently open. And it's the possibility of other collections coming into our map marketplace and saying, hey, I want to distribute my NFTs across all of the United States. Or if I have a collection inspired by heroes, how do we position NFTs at places relevant to a specific hero that your collection is representative of? So there's a lot of things going on in regards to growth. It's just very exciting to see the response from communities and the Web3 space towards how do we find and build different connections between us and actually look at the whole social historical context of our digital assets.
Yeah. And to support a little bit of what Santiago is sharing, I think that when we decide to, instead of just certifying collections, go through an onboard collections, go through application process. We have like over 50 collections right now that want to be certified and that they want to migrate their communities to FlickPlay because it's a huge pain point for collections creators, NFT creators, of having to support and have their communities rely so much in their contribution, their Discord. And what happened with the first collection, the NFT collection that we launched in our app, is that it's a very self-sustained ecosystem because people go and if they're traveling, they're creating a video with their NFT, they're putting their Flicky, which was the Flicky Gun was the first collection we certified, which is our Genesis project. And it's creating this like next layer of engagement with their audience that is not anymore, let's say, our friend from the Flicky Gang Collection shop that lives in India that chat with us every day. When I'm seeing these beautiful landscapes and locations that she visits and how she integrates her NFT within the story of her experience in that location. So now it's like, hey, you're traveling to this location this day. How is it? I really want to visit that location, right? So the relationship between holder is becoming deeper and deeper. And they're finding FlickPlay as an ecosystem where sharing videos with the things they own digitally is okay, right? We all know that in all of our Instagrams, we have people that understands the NFT ecosystem and the digital ownership movement, and we have friends that don't and that don't even support that. They hate it, right? So
no one hates it.
I mean, I know. I wish no, but it's great. I think that as long as the space is creating emotions, is good. Because it means that there is something important and transformationally happening on it, right? But right. Let's say that are skeptical about the space, and they find FlickPlay as a safe ecosystem to interact with a community that they're already engaged with across multiple touch points, Twitter, Discord, Instagram, in a way where they feel more understood and supported for their creative expression with the things they own digitally. And that's been like a really cool discovery for us and a strong validation of how we need to continue to support the Web3 community and migrate, create a space for them to migrate into our platform as we continue to develop our Web2 efforts to create a mass adoption of the space.
So you talked and kind of alluded to this a little bit before, and I think something that's kind of going around in the space right now is, you know, this kind of battle between ownership of intellectual property and CCO. And so you said, you know, if Snoop Dogg had an NFT and builds IP around that, and then at one point decided to sell that, he can sell the licensing of all of the videos that come with that, right? So he's kind of doing something similar with Dr. Bombay. So can you kind of walk me through like the contrast between what he's currently doing with Bombay and how that would like translate into your world if that was all built within your platform?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the technicalities of what he's doing, Bombay. Santiago, are you familiar with it?
No, to be honest, I'm not.
I'm not. Can you elaborate a little bit on it so I can?
So he has a Bored Ape and he's just building IP around that. So he's created it into a known character and he's building music videos off of that. And, you know, as you own a Bored Ape, you now own that IP for that Bored Ape. So just like similarly, but, you know, if then he decided to sell that Bored Ape because everything's in different places, you know, selling that IP might be vastly different than in your platform.
Yeah. Okay, got it. I got it. It's a little bit different because I always like to bring things to the real world, right? I think that in the real world, me wearing this specific t-shirt is not only building my identity, but it's building the value of the IP, of the intellectual property of this brand that pushed this specific pattern, right? So in the real world, me wearing it every day and walking around, it's enough. Right? Because I get the brand gets exposure of the product within audiences, within an ecosystem where digital objects cannot be seen without using your phones or at some point goggles, you need a medium to create that intersection, right? So, and that's videos for us. So when we think about the idea of licensing or providing rights to continue the story, we don't relate it as the transformation of that IP or the things that or what the an independent NFT collection lets you do. NFT collection that give you commercial rights. There are NFT collections that you it's just a pure licensing and you can just use it for personal use reasons. Like we don't interfere on that. The only thing that we enable is that through videos, you're able to storytell with that asset as it is. We don't change the asset. We don't let users transform it. If it's a 3D object that walks, it's a 3D object that walks. If it's an image, it's an image. So it is as it is. And you're able to create videos with it. So when you license, when you set, when you we enable the tools to sell NFTs within the ecosystem and do our own version of licensing, it's not towards the NFT itself, it's towards the content, the videos you have created with that NFT. And it's saying that if you go to the profile of an NFT on FlickPlay and you created 5 videos with it, and you're selling your NFT with the social data that you build on it. So the combination of views, likes, impressions, that the videos that you have created have historically win into that collectible, it's something that so the new holder can continue to build up, right? So, and you can think a little bit about buying an Instagram account, right? The every Instagram account has a different aesthetic, has a different story that is being told. So if you enable that format and you say, well, I'm buying this collectible, this digital asset, but with it, I'm bringing the reputation that has already been built behind that, the culture, how it's being shared, who has own it before, right? Mm-hmm. And how that person and the self-expression of that person has in a way built up the value of it, that's what's being transferred, right? So it's not the transformation or of the assets, because we are a distribution and a social ecosystem for NFTs. We do not touch the independent rights that the NFT creators add to their collections.
I have a question around, I mean, you talked about bringing these collections on and you guys are going to kind of audit these collections. I mean, I'm sure there's some that probably don't need as much auditing as others, like Bored Apes or CryptoPunks and all these things. Is this first play here about bringing those communities over from other social media channels onto FlickPlay to provide kind of a deeper experience with each other? So, you know, right now I can't go onto Instagram if I'm holding a Bored Ape and only post to the Bored Ape community. Right. If I have one of those, I want to post it. I only want that community to interact with it. I can't do that. Is that kind of the first step to that, is saying, hey, let's provide this richer experience for these communities so that if I'm holding a Bored Ape and I want to provide, like I want to post something that's interesting, or I'm doing something related to Bored Ape, maybe I'm not, but just kind of creating that community from that deeper layer. Is that like step one?
Yeah, totally, totally. And we have some cool features that we haven't announced, but that will be coming up around a gated NFT gated and a spaces within the platform where you can only see certain things that have been posted because someone holds that NFT and they decide to only share it within the ecosystem, or they decide to share it. They decide to share within that group, or they decide to share within the broader ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's that space that lets you create layers of community based on digital ownership in ways that traditional social medias are not designed to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we read here that you guys got into the Disney Accelerator. I know that used to be like a Techstars Disney thing. I think that's Disney is doing its own thing now. And you guys just started that. It looks like demo days in the fall. What do you anticipate to kind of garner from this program? And, you know, you probably have, you know, 150 mentors telling you to pivot which way and, you know, go this way, do this, do that. What is the value that you're trying to kind of pull out of that? Mm-hmm. Obviously it's Disney, you know, there's a million things that they can do outside of like capital. You know, what are you guys really looking to get out of this program?
Yeah. Yeah, well, there is little that we can share until demo day. But what I will say is that part of the fascinating part idea of the program is that most companies are not really early stage, right?
Yeah, like not a traditional super seed stage. They've definitely, like I remember Samba TV was part of it a couple of years back and they had a ton of revenue.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's people confuse an incubator with an accelerator. Normally, Disney don't bring on board companies that are pre-Series A into their incubator because they're real. They want to make sure that the companies are ready for a scale and the amplification that they can create with any corporate partnership, right? So it's been a fascinating experience getting to know their full team, all the different business units. We can't really share much about what we are discussing internally, but I will say that it's pretty amazing to see a Fortune 50 company really start to build up their strategy for the next 10 years with Web3, right? When the market is down, that just means that that just like shows the world that what we're building is not going anywhere.
I love that. Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be an exciting next year. And you know that there's a lot of brands that are out there preparing and building and thinking about what's going on. You know, they're not, when they jump in, they're not looking at the next 6 to 8 months and what the market looks like. What they're looking at is a 10 to, you know, sometimes 25 year horizon of, hey, we need to be involved in this technology now. And we need to kind of learn from the projects that we bring in and the companies that we bring in, like yourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, yeah.
Yeah, I think every single company is looking for ways to do it, for ways to get into the market, into the metaverse, into this so-called metaverse, and the million definitions that are out there. So there is, I think, as a platform, a product we've built for the past 3 years, it's really for companies and brands trying to get is their easy take. And it's not as easy for these brands to come and, let's say, I'm going to launch an NFT and I'm going to have a Discord channel, and what is the community aspect of it? And how is people creating user-generated content for my brand, bringing exposure? So I think this will be the easiest place for brands to launch their NFT efforts or Web3 efforts in a way that they could gamify the way they bring their interaction from their community, bring traffic to retail locations in the real world, and also have people storytell and create content and bring exposure to their brand as well as creating loyalty programs to this. Because we built the first interface on an app to be the claiming process for not only digital but physical products as well. So the same way you go into OpenSea and you see rarity through the trades, because you're like, oh, it has this trade, this must be rare because only one person had them. Through FlickPlay, you go and see different trades in an NFT, and you might encounter that a trade is associated with a reward by a brand. So it's a way to also keep people engaged by the same old method of sending, let's say, an email marketing campaign, buy one, get one free. Right now, you can do it through a loyalty program, through NFTs, because we provide that interface for them as well.
Yeah. So,
and it's a way to also getting to know your customer better, right? Because when you develop a multiple touch point experience, you are really dissecting who goes through the full funnel of buying your NFT, creating a video with your NFT, going redeem a utility from your NFT, and how that person gets re-engaged over and over, right? So it's, and the cool thing about the Web3 space versus just doing email marketing is that consumers will make the decision of buying your NFT, and you will constantly, with live data, know who are interested in your brand based on who owns your NFT, and it's taking actions with it, right? Whether it's social or whether it is transactional.
So a lot of this is all just community building and community management. And so I'm curious to know how you guys look at certain aspects of censorship and managing a community and within these different brands, as you kind of bring more ecosystems in, how do you guys look at that and managing, you know, at some point, potentially millions of people?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think that we are being very open to exploration. We really think outside the box as it comes to how we can do things differently, but added value. We see all these different open conversations right now around, like, I don't see what I want to see. I don't see my friends anymore on Instagram. I literally scroll to the feed and it's pure advertising or accounts that I don't follow and I don't want to consume content from. I go to Twitter and I don't see things that I don't read the things that are relevant for me in a specific situation. And we have been going through this process of really thinking about ownership as that core source of interest. And the things, considering that we are a platform that it's building people's, empowering people to build their identities through digital ownership, how can we really use the things that you are, the things that you own as a way to filter the content that you consume, right? And to dissect your interests today or tomorrow when you probably sell everything and buy something else, right? So, we really think about, we are getting very creative as to how we think about curation and content consumption based on interests and communities alike, from a discovery standpoint. And from a community engagement standpoint, it's something that we are building up and that we have like a lot of very open conversations around it. We think that the same way you go to OpenSea and for you to have your NFT collection there, the owner of that NFT collection needs to open the OpenSea account and needs to like certify it. We think that the owners of collections will be the moderators of the communities, right? However, it becomes a very self-serve process because as a platform that is really powered through video generation, the community is able to report when something that doesn't match the protocols or the community standards, it's happening within the ecosystem, right? And what content gets prioritized or not based in our algorithms around engagement and positive or negative traction behind those videos, right? So I think that we're both systemizing the process, yet looking for ways to really empower the creators of the story to also navigate the community building and conversation around their IP.
I got a question about, I mean, for everyone really, why do you think we haven't seen another Pokemon Go type app that's been out there? I mean, that thing went crazy, complete gangbusters. People, I mean, obviously Pokemon, that brand, but you think that there would have been something else that was even one fifth like the virality of something like that. Like you were mentioning, Prina, like you'd see people just sprinting at a fountain in the middle of Chicago and you'd be like, what is going on there? And there's people holding phones up and like there's mass hysteria. Why do you think we haven't seen anything kind of like that? And is now the time, you know, that this becomes ubiquitous and, you know, people kind of see what you guys are doing, which is, you know, kind of building on top of that with a little bit more social aspect. I mean, is now the time?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you look at the company Niantic, which are the creators of Pokemon Go, and at the point in time where they build the technology to really power the scavenger hunt, right, type of experience, back then you had to go and knock doors to get IP to migrate your platform, right? So one of the biggest challenges, like, and you see this in the media space, how do you build an IP that people love, right? And that will do anything to access it. That takes years, right? This is the first time in history that we see people building a strong emotional connection with IP that is fresh out of the oven. Like this has never happened, right? So the interesting part of like some of the differentiators that I see is number one, when you think about Pokemon Go as a game, it to me was the perfect technology with the perfect story. As a kid, you always dream about becoming a Pokemon trainer and throwing that ball and capturing a Pokemon, right? And the technology enabled the experience that you wanted to have, right? So it's not that you were capturing a coupon. It's not that you were capturing a rabbit that you don't care about. You were capturing, you were living an experience that you probably dream of as a kid and never happened in the real world, right? So to me, it was that idea of bringing fantasy to a reality. When you think about like after that that success, even Niantic as a company have launched a few games that haven't been able to top the success of Pokemon, because again, like you cannot reuse the same principles when you build such a perfect fit between a story and a piece of technology. So the way we think about it, and I can speak about it coming from FlickPlay being a Web2 platform where we were pushing our own IP to becoming a Web3 platform, when we enable people to unlock the objects that we created, we saw people in their bed just opening it up, creating a video, and that's it. And we were like, oh my God, how do we make people remember to create a cool video with the things, the objects that we are giving them, right? In locations that are beautiful, like how do we make become top of mind for them? And it wasn't until we launched our first NFT collection and we empowered people that already made an investment in something they own, right? To open and create that experience, right? So when we think about our AR content tools, we think it at that portal to amplifying the experience. And when we think about our map, we saw videos of people, like people learn about the Flickigan collection through Twitter, through Discord, through like everyone that talk about it, right? And when we announced that we were gonna release 500 Flicky through our map, we saw videos of people jumping and hugging each other for capturing a Flicky. Yes, for some of them, it was because there is a financial value tied to them and they were lucky that they found it. For others of them, it's because they really loved the version of the Flicky that they unlocked, right? And that was like a happy moment for them to identify that. It doesn't really matter, but the incentive structure why people would own something digitally has completely shifted from 2017, right? And the understanding of the value structure that it creates for you as a holder has shifted so much and is so culture driven and not IP driven that it has changed the dynamics of why people would do something today.
I want to talk a little bit about the future and the growth evolution of, you know, maybe potentially like the next 10 years of augmented reality technology. It feels that like right now we're trying to use a technology on Web2 hardware. And so I'm curious to know how you guys see the evolution of your metaverse, of your app and the video sharing as technology kind of starts to catch up a little bit, whether that's, you know, wearable hardware or what, where do you guys kind of see the future of that and how do you plan to grow into that?
Yeah, I think it's seamless, right? I think that when you think about the first generation of a metaverse, as you were saying earlier, was you opening Yelp and living a digital experience through a 2D map that optimize your experience in the real world, right? So to me, that was the first connection of like where how people make decisions in the world based on information they're consuming from a 2D version of the world in their phone. And this next generation is that integration between what you see in the phone and how you bridge it with the real world by doing this, right? Instead of doing this and looking up. And the next generation is going to be you having AR goggles and all these different, and we talk about them as like these videos with NFTs or digital collectibles, but these are all being pinned in the world, right? So these are all digital experiences that at some point you're going to be able to filter based on the things that your friends have been in the map, the things that the experiences that your friends have created, the NFTs from your favorite retailers and any incentive structure that there is around you walking inside a retail store based on the things that you own and the incentive that you can get that people in the real world or without that incentive wouldn't be able to access it, right? So I think that the natural fit for the next generation of a platform like FlickPlay is creating a more seamless and frictionless experience between the connection of digital objects and the real world. And that will continue to transcend technology and hardware advances as we continue to kind of like build up the adoption of what it means to own something digitally and the value it creates for you in the real world.
Do you guys see that, you know, right now we're talking about, hey, you know, if you own this specific collection, you're going to have access to whatever the social that's created and the content that's created in this world. And then, you know, if you like, I'm thinking one step further than that when, you know, if you break it down to what about like a family or a company or a neighborhood or, you know, is it going to be issuing like an NFT to everyone that lives in this specific zip code? And then you can all kind of conversate on this app and interact with each other. And like, where does it kind of continue to go down that path? Cause I feel like if I have Twitter and Reddit and I have, you know, YouTube and all of these things, and I'm trying to share out to the world, that's one thing. But when I want to have a smaller conversation and I only want the folks that are basically, you know, maybe trying to solve that problem, right? Maybe I'm like, hey, I'm over here. I'm trying to solve like recycling in my neighborhood or something. And like, who's a part of that? And like, how do I spin up a community very quickly and make it more like make the content better than maybe just copy on there? I don't know what this person's saying. Can they just take a video of themselves? Do you guys see it going there? Like, is that kind of, Is it like the social media metaverse for everything?
Yeah, I think that there are many utilities to it, right? I think that it's hard to predict what ecosystem will fulfill what need, right? Because you have, what's the name of this app? Is it Neighbors?
Nextdoor,
right? You have Nextdoor that you pretty much post anything that it's like, it's there. I do believe that there will be cater ecosystem for a specific purposes. I do believe that there will be more high-level ecosystems that, like, it, for example, like you can be in Nextdoor, but you're still on Instagram, you're still on TikTok, right? So there are ecosystems that will build your identity and your persona in the masses, and there are going to be ecosystems that are going to power a more utility-driven effort that could be exactly what you're describing. I do think that at core, something that I really like from what you say is the legacy aspect of it, right? If I own an NFT and I go to a soccer game and I create a video with it and I share the excitement of that moment with an NFT that amplifies that experience in the location, will my daughter be able to continue that legacy and have a memory of that moment that could have already been lost on my Instagram account as I evolve as a person, right? Because I can hide certain NFTs that I don't want people to see, but I don't need to destroy the legacy that has been, the cultural legacy that has been built with it, right? And that idea of being able to use NFTs as a way to go back in time, right? And remember how something was used and could potentially be used in the future is something that I'm fascinated about. And as ownership starts to become the main driver of transferring an NFT from or an asset from person to person, was a continuation of a story that someone else creates. So can I see how someone 10 years ago interacted with my doodle? And what's my interaction today with it, right? The same way we talk about fashion in the 60s or in the 80s or in the 70s, right? And the comeback moment, that the cycle of return that exists within trends across time.
I want to talk a little bit about the commercialization of this. So, you know, if I'm creating content on FlickPlay and people are coming and interacting with that, and maybe it's geotagged somewhere and I've created this, is there is there profit sharing in a way, or fees in a way, or anything else where as I'm interacting, or if someone posts some sort of filter or something that's out there, I can utilize that? And like, are you guys trying to kind of bridge that gap as well? So where, like, if I'm interacting on the site or in the app, I can, you know, I could make, you know, make a living off of that.
Yeah. So we're working on making the app an engage to earn app as well. So the same way while you're interacting in the app or engaging with other people's content and playing mini games that are overlaying the content that people is creating, you can gain tokens that will be claimable for rewards, staking, all sort of things that will be kind of like powering the economy within the app. We're also developing renting tools. So if you own an NFT that you want other people to create content with, you want other people to create content with, that you can always rent it out for someone else at a specific locations in the world for them to go into that place and be able to use your NFTs and monetize in the process of it. Also, a lot of, I think, the speculative value will be building on top of these NFTs that will be reflected also within the financial value, is how do we overlay the social engagement data on top of financial data. So the same way you go into OpenSea and you see how much an NFT got bought for and sold for, on OpenSea you see how many likes, views, comments that NFT has accumulated over this time frame of the years, really testing the virality of that IP. And how we overlay those two different type of data will be also reflected on the speculative value or just the financial value of the NFT you'll be holding as a FlickPlay user as well.
So social intelligence for metaverse.
I think like behavioral social intelligence and use it as a driver of speculation. We're already seeing it, right? Like you go to an NFT collection and you click in the NFT that you like, and you probably don't buy it because it's not rare enough, right? And you're like, well, I can buy one that is rare. But is that really going to be the way we buy things? No, it's not. That's not how we behave in the real world. You might like something that is not super exclusive, but you still, it still builds up and represents your identity and who you are. So I think that when we start to think about identity building, it doesn't need to be with things that are rare or expensive. It's really how it powers your self-expression, right? And how you build your own persona with the things that you like. And I think that that's really where we are heading. It's like, how can we like segment these incentive or deconstruct these incentive structures that currently exist in the market around rarity and really make culture and social build it up, right? And empower holders to say like, hey, like, the owner or the creator of this specific NFT doesn't need to hand it in a hand value to you in a silver plate. You can create the value of the things that you own the same way brands get built in the real world, by independent humans building up the value and embracing those brands as part of their identity.
Yeah. No, there's just such a green field for you guys right now. It's super exciting. And like you said, there's not, it's a new time where assets have, like you said, Prina, fresh out of the oven, you know, IP is being created where before that would take generations to potentially do that, do what has been done. But I will say there is one company that has a lot of IP that would probably love to monetize that. And you guys are sitting in the accelerator right now. I'm waiting for some sort of Star Wars thing to come out, like just South Link right now, because that is where the monetization comes at levels that like are probably beyond belief. Well, appreciate you guys being here, Santiago, Prina. Where can people find you guys? Twitter, the FlickPlay, obviously. What's the website? Let us know where we can find you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find on Twitter, the FlickPlay app account. You can search the Flickigan NFT collection which is our Genesis project on OpenSea. And my Twitter is Merino Pierina, so my name in birth, and Santiago.
I actually don't know my Twitter. I'll be once a second.
Focus on other social media apps going on right now.
Yeah, Merino Santiago with two O's.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here. And Ian, as always, you're the man, and we will chat with you all back.